What's going on, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, your general manager and host of Kings of the Rings podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, it does not get any realer than this. You are listening to the Young Lions Perspective podcast, hosted by Mr. YLP himself, exclusively on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
Episode 387 of the YLP podcast. It has been an interesting week in the world of professional wrestling, and a lot of interesting news has come out as of late, and it's a lot. It's been a good amount. We found out, which will kick off our show this week, our top story, and we found out this past Monday Rhea Ripley has been injured. We'll discuss the injury itself and Bully Ray reacting to the injury itself and her having to vacate the WWE Women's World Championship, and I'll provide a bit of my thoughts as well at hand. Also, Dynasty is this weekend. AEW Dynasty is this coming Sunday, and we'll discuss a little bit about it, of course, giving you my preview and predictions for this card, and I'm quite excited to be discussing this card. A lot of good things are on this card. A lot of good things. And from what I've heard, AEW had a wonderful bounce back episode. I haven't watched it as of yet, but it's good to see that they actually were like, oh, maybe we should focus on the card that we're about to have this coming weekend instead of the nonsense and bullshit. We all make mistakes in life, people. Just gotta own up to it and actually, you know, rectify what needs to be done. And apparently, they did right by the AEW fans. Because that Swerve Strickland spot apparently was fucking dope. I saw it on Twitter. Woof. Yeah. we'll be discussing the entire Dynasty card, preview and predictions. We'll see how we can do on this go around. And today, I will end today's episode. I was laying in bed one night, and I had the thought of just like, Christmas isn't until December. But I might as well write my wish list early. So at least I've done like a 10 through 6 of things in professional wrestling that I want to see this year. A little something different than the normal that what we usually do with, you know, previews and predictions. Trying to spice it up a little bit. So we're doing all of that and more on today's episode of the podcast, because ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 387 of the YLP podcast. Let's hit that intro. Let's get it started. And with that being said, let us begin. What's going on, guys? Back to the Wrestling Issues Podcast here. Welcome to episode 387 of the YLP Podcast. So I'm glad to have you guys here with me on this fine Saturday, and I hope you're enjoying your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. As always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. It is Saturday, April 20th, 2024. 420 has arrived. Y'all already know what time it is. If you are feeling it, do so. I don't mind one bit. Do you? Especially me, given that I live in a state where it's legal. Yeah, I would suggest y'all enjoy the occasion as much as y'all should enjoy. But do it responsibly, of course. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But yes, it is Saturday. We are here again for another brand new episode of the YLP Podcast. Hope you guys had a fantastic week. Hope it was good to you. And we got the weekend to recuperate and get ourselves ready and prepared for the week ahead. But before we get into the week ahead, let us relax and enjoy ourselves. Sit back, relax, have a beverage of your choice. Hopefully a snack or two. And let us, as we always do, before we get into the news of the week, of course, if you have any questions, comments, opinions, or comments about today's episode or any other 386 episodes of the YLP podcast. Hit me up with a nice little voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/younglionsperspective or podcasters.spotify.com/wrestleaddictradio. You can also hit me up with an email over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. Let me know what's in your mind. Let me know what you're thinking about Dynasty this weekend, because y'all already know what time it is with that. But let us, as we always normally do on shows like this, get into the news of the week. The show discusses all the news that's fit for me to talk about. And let's, you know, begin with our top story. As I said in the intro, Rhea Ripley was forced to relinquish the WWE Women's World Championship this past Monday, ending her 380-day reign as champion. And for a lot of us, who, you know, who saw her in her match against, you know, Becky Lynch, you know, and shout out to Becky Lynch, of course, dealing with 102 fever and strep throat, and Rhea Ripley dealing with having a panic attack for 2 hours prior to her match. Kudos to both of them going out there and doing what they do, because even Rhea Ripley said it, it's a, you know, even if you're not feeling nervous, you're not really, you know, meant for to go out there. So to have those, so to be able to be vulnerable like that, and was always, as I said, I believe a couple weeks ago, fantastic. And it sucks that, you know, she's injured, she's going to be out, because I was hoping for a lot of things going into the summer, and maybe we'll still get them. We'll see how it goes. But let's get into the opening article over at WrestlingInc.com from Nishant Jayaram. Bully Ray reacts to Rhea Ripley injury, vacating WWE Women's World title. WWE star Rhea Ripley has become one of the biggest names, if not the biggest, in WWE's women's roster over the last year, but her injury has halted her meteoric rise. WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray, however, sees the positives in the Australian's recent setback, arguing that the injury is not as bad as many fear it will be for her. And before we go on, we did find out it's an AC joint that was caused during the attack by Liv Morgan. The head, the shot to the head of the chair didn't do it. The push in the wall did, messed up her AC joint, and she's going to be out for the next 3 months. So we're at April now. We're looking to see July. That's more than likely going to be SummerSlam season. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Let's see what, Bully Ray has to say. He says, quote, "I know on the surface it sounds bad, but it's not necessarily bad. It's not like she got hurt before WrestleMania. She got through Mania. She got injured. Now she's going to go away for a little while. Sometimes, what do they say about absence? It makes the heart grow fonder. Same thing in wrestling. Sometimes when you go away for a while, it makes the fans yearn for you to come back. They get excited for you when you come back," end quote. The tag team legend believes when Ripley returns from her injury, she will get a huge reaction from the crowd, and predicts that Mommy will be the biggest babyface in the women's division, saying, quote, "Rhea Ripley has been positioned as a heel. It's the fans who are into her. She's got a great entrance, phenomenal look. She gets the job done in the ring. This time away will be good for Rhea. Recharge the battery, heal your injury, and when Rhea Ripley comes back, when they hit her music on her return, the WWE will have a monster woman babyface on their hands in Rhea Ripley," end quote. Rhea also praised Ripley and Charlotte Flair's match at WrestleMania 39, when the Australian became the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion. Recent reports have indicated that Ripley could be out of action for almost 3 months. WWE has announced that a new WWE Women's World Champion will be decided on next week's WWE Raw, although they haven't announced the contenders. Okay. Now, because I'm you know, after I saw the Rhea Ripley injury and everybody, and pretty much, like, I woke up Monday morning and just saw it, I'm just like, well, fuck. That's, I hope they're kayfabing like a motherfucker right now. But they weren't. She relinquished it, and here we are. Now, am I interested to see who will be the WWE Women's World Champion? A little bit. I mean, most people are saying Liv, to go into her hero persona and have Rhea Ripley comes back as a babyface. That would be the most logical one. People were saying Nia Jax, and I'm just like, no, let's not do that, because no, let's not do that. Excuse me. Some are saying Becky. Would make sense, but I believe she's out for the next 3 to 4 weeks. I believe she's out for a little bit of time, with Seth. Nothing wrong with that. You know, spend time with family, chill with baby Rue, all the good stuff. I don't know, because my thing is this. I'm all understanding of having a champion going into the draft, but my thing is, why wouldn't you do it at Backlash? The first international show on your for the next 3 months, why not have a big moment and crown the women's world champion in France? En français. Why not? I think that would be a dope. That would have been a dope. That wouldn't have been the right move. I get it, though, trying to have a champion before draft, but the way I see it, what I hope they do, at least draft-wise, is make Rhea Ripley a free agent. Just have that little red herring just to allow her to go wherever she wants to go, i.e. wherever the Women's World Champion going to be at, because I don't know if they're going to switch, have the title switched or anything like that nature. Hopefully, personally, I wouldn't say having, should all champions, I think honestly, all champions should just stay where they're at. Let me think, because it's A-Town Down Under, Awesome Truth. Yeah, I think all champions, I think all champions can stick in their brands. They're immune from getting drafted. I think Damian Priest as the World Heavyweight Champion on Raw makes sense. And then now, I believe I've read officially Cody is on SmackDown, so don't have him go anywhere. It's they're both in their landing spots. Perfect. Whoever becomes the Women's World Champion, I guess they can keep them on Raw because I think that would make sense. And Bayley should just stay on SmackDown. That would just be the move. Both sets of tag team champions stay where they're at because they just became champions in this mode, so keep them where they're at. The only ones I would think about are like the IC and the United States, but the way I'm looking at it, keep the Intercontinental Championship on Raw and keep US on SmackDown. I don't think Logan's ready for that Raw yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's ready for Raw. We'll see. We'll see how the draft goes. I'm just like, I get it. It's not like hitting a panic button. Let's make sure we're getting that clear. But the way I see it, I think crowning the new champion at Backlash, announcing your contenders, and kind of doing a tournament, because we like tournaments here in the YLP realm, I think they create great stories. I think they tell great stories if done correctly, i.e. Deadly Games back in 1998, Vince Russo's magnum opus, and one of the greatest swerves in professional wrestling history, and actually changed a man's career, one being the Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I actually have to go finish that because I started watching it. I didn't get a chance to finish it, but I might have to finish that because I want to see how they did it. It's like, again, it sucks that Ripley's out, you know. Again, this is wrestling. This ain't fucking, you know, tag. This ain't no two-hand touch football, people. This is professional wrestling and shit can happen at any time. It sucks when it does, but we know. And I'll put it like this, and there's a good positive spin on this because, you know, it's not redacted who's booking the shows. It's Triple H that's booking the shows. And we're coming off the heels of WrestleMania 40, which was one of the biggest WrestleManias by the numbers of all time. So we, at least, especially after 40, why not have that? Why not? You know, why not see what we can do now coming out of WrestleMania 40? I mean, Triple H gave us a great road to WrestleMania, probably one of the best road to WrestleManias I probably have ever seen in my entire lives. But, I mean, I would have loved to see it take. I think having the champion be crowned at Backlash, I think would have been a nice little touch, personally, to have your women's champion crowned in a big stage, in an international stage. I think that would be pretty freaking cool. That'd be pretty damn fucking cool. But we're not going to get that. We're going to get it on Monday. We'll see who it is. We'll see who the contenders are, who they decide to put in there, in what format. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. If I had to choose in this very moment, go with Liv for the heel. Nonsense, but don't fuck this up. You did it with the SmackDown Women's Championship. I think you just go around. You know, whoever you decide to put in as champion, just do. And I know it's Triple H, but I will always say it, do right by whoever you win, whoever goes with the title. Do right, and then when Ripley comes back, do what you need to do, and you know what you need to do. but yeah, I mean, if Rhea Ripley's being out of action for 3 months, it's gonna suck, but. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with the Women's World Championship now that it's not on Ripley. They knew at some point it was going to be on Ripley. They just didn't know it was going to be this soon. Again, injuries happen. So they're going to, you know, we're going to see what it looks like between now and whenever Rhea Ripley comes back and what they decide to do at that point. Well, we can't cross that bridge just yet. We have to focus on the here and now, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, again, it sucks for Ripley to be out. It sucks, but you know, we're going to be all right. Triple H is going to guide us through. He is our Sherpa. He is the CCO. I believe that he is going to do something quite nice with the Women's World Championship until Rhea Ripley comes back. Would they decide to put the title back on her? Who knows? We'll see. But again, we can't cross that bridge just yet. Let's focus on the here and now and see what they do with the WWE Women's World Championship and see how we go about it. From there, we go. Moving on, as we head over to WrestleTalk.com, and now, me personally, I'm not the, you know, biggest fan of politics. I think politics is just fucking disgusting, and it's just very vile and corrupt and all that stuff. But that's another story for another day. But there were some things in the professional wrestling landscape, and I actually saw a tweet about this. Not about this particular topic, but I believe it was an article in Kentucky. And WWE was running a show there. And Kentucky pretty much like warned WWE there will be no blood, and then they, and then, you know, in true go fuck yourself fashion, WWE allowed blood to be shown, and there was a picture of Triple H bleeding on there. So yeah. Let us get into it from WrestleTalk.com. AEW's Nyla Rose fires back at official transgender warning. All these damn weird pop-ups. Don't need them in my screen. AEW star Nyla Rose has slammed a warning in the Oklahoma Athletic Commission minutes over allowing a transgender to compete against a female. An extract of the minutes from the January meeting of the Oklahoma Athletic Commission was shared on Twitter, with the focus on being on item F, titled, quote, discussion into what punitive action to take against AEW for allowing a transgender, born male, to compete against a female, end quote. As can be seen in the tweet below, featuring a screenshot of the minutes, the AEW show in question that took place on December 20th, 2023, referring to Rose's ROH on Honor Club match against Alejandra Lyon. It was noted in the report that that OSAC had no idea as the wrestler had filled his wrestling license application as a female. The Athletic Commission was alerted by a local wrestling organization who had previously done the same thing. The administrator, Joe Miller, contacted AEW and explained that this was a violation of the OSAC rules. In the meeting, Miller asked the commission if there was any other action they would like to take against AEW. Mike Bauer stated that the OSAC boxing, kicking, and MMA applications all ask about gender reassignment, and that the wrestling application needs to be updated so that this doesn't happen in the future. Nyla Rose responded to the situation on Twitter, tweeting out a strong message stating, and I quote, who the fuck was it? Don't worry, Oklahoma, I'll find the dastardly transgender that, checks notes, entertained fans. How dare they make people happy? Rose also posted, damn it, Oklahoma, you made me a babyface now. I want to do evil things with my evil friends, but now I can't. As for the punishment, the motion was made and carried that AEW should be warned, quote, not to do this again, or there will be punitive action made against them if they do. Now, let me see how. Now, item F, and then we're going to have a screenshot here. No, I'm not exiting the pages. I'm trying to read the article. Thank you. All right, so item F, discussion into what punitive action to take against AEW for allowing a transgender born male to compete against a female. The administrator, Joe Miller, explained that AEW, a professional wrestling organization, had an event at the Paycom Center on December 20th, 2023, where a transgender wrestler, born male, had a match with a female wrestler. OSAC had no idea as the wrestler had filled his wrestling license application out as a female. OSAC was alerted by a wrestling organization that had previously done the same thing. That organization acknowledged they knew that was a violation of OSAC rules and that they would refrain from doing it again in the future. Joe Miller explained that he called AEW and explained that it was a violation of the OSAC rules. He then asked the commission if there was any other action they would like to take against AEW. Mike Bauer stated that the OSAC kickboxing, and MMA applications all ask if someone has had gender reassignment, but the wrestling application does not. He stated that it needs to be updated so this doesn't happen again in the future. Commission wrestlers asked questions about and discussed the issues that come along with male versus female wrestling. Mike James asked what the commission wanted to do with AEW. Mike Bauer said that in his opinion, OSAC needs to be consistent and do to AEW what they did with the previous organization. Motion made by Dr. Larry Lovelace to warn AEW not to do this again, or there will be punitive action made against them if they do. Second by Terry Smith was made by Dr. Larry Lovelace. Mike Bauer, Mike James, all eyes pretty much across the board. I've always said, since pretty much day fucking one of this podcast, I don't give a fuck who you be. Whether you be straight, gay, lesbian, transgender, queer, I do not care what color you are, black, white, yellow, Puerto Rican, Asian. I don't care who you are. When it comes to this professional wrestling shit, if you can entertain people in the ring, I fuck with you. Because my respect goes to you for putting in the work in the ring and outside of the ring when you're doing training and all that good stuff. Now, granted, we do have such a thing as the 10th Amendment here in the United States, you know, states' rights. Regardless, though, pro wrestling is pro wrestling. I love pro wrestling. And if I'm being entertained, I enjoy pro wrestling. I have an episode literally called, Damn It, I Love Professional Wrestling. I don't care who you are. Shouldn't matter. Professional wrestling. Allow people to be who they be. Regardless of what they identify themselves as. Done by or me, do you. Live life. More life. Live your life the way that you see fit that is best for you. No shame in that. So it bothers me a good amount, especially with the Wrestling Underground Radio Squadron, you know, being very supportive of the LGBTQIA+ community. That it would be proper to always support. It's nonsense. I get it. I mean, it's what the state decides is in their, you know, their laws and all that good stuff. I get it. But it's, you know, professional wrestling, dude. Like, it's professional wrestling, dude. And we love it. And we just enjoy it. You know, there's a reason, you know, Effie doesn't do his big gay brunch in Oklahoma. Most time usually does it in fucking wherever WrestleMania is or soon after that. But I don't know. It is, you know, as I say, with professional wrestling, come as you are. There's a place for you in professional wrestling. And that's why I love it. And that's why I talk about it. And that's why I do this. So to see, you know, I guess there has been a possible discrepancy. Yeah. But still. This is what, you know, like I get it on Oklahoma's end. That's again, 10th Amendment, states' rights. What kind of punitive damage are we talking about? At that point, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm trying to figure out in my head, but still, when it comes to, excuse me, when it comes to that, though, professional wrestling is professional wrestling. Come as you are, there is always a spot for you no matter what. Regardless of who you identify as. Don't like it? Tough shit. We will end our news of the week on this, because I've kind of been keeping up with this on the low key. Oh, also, before we even, you know, get into this article, one time for the one, there's a lot of babies. A lot of babies being either made or they're being born. Besides, you know, taking out of professional wrestling, that's just life in general. But I want to give congratulations. If hopefully this better not be kayfabe, because I'll be very upset. for Angelo Parker and Ruby Soho. They is pregnant. Well, Soho's pregnant. Congratulations. You know, one time for the one time. Babies. You know what I'm saying? I have none of my own, but babies. So yeah, one time for the one time for that. I saw that on Twitter the other night. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Babies. I think there was another, I think there was someone else that was having a kid. I'm trying to think. Hold on. Let me think on it. Pro wrestling news babies. This is gonna be a weird Google search. Yeah, it's like, yeah, we know about the Bliss Cabrera one. We've been known that shit. There's that. 2024. Yes. Yeah, Mr. YLP is looking up. Because I know that I heard of another pregnancy that took place. I think this was recent. Yeah. Angelo Parker. Yeah. Yeah, thing news. Not storyline related. Good. Okay, that's legit. All right. Babies. Oh, wait, no. That was last year. Jesus Christ. That was the 60 hours in labor one. Oh, yeah. Cassie Lee and Jones Beats are going to have a kid this year. Yes. No, Cody Crybabies. Pog. I think that was the other one that I didn't know about was Cassie Lee and Sean Spears. So, pro wrestling babies. Good times. This is going to be an interesting, weird way to get into the next article. But yeah, congratulations to Soho and Parker for babies. Let's get into the last article of the news of the week segment. As we head over to WrestleDog.com, WWE star probably will be fired following recent allegations. And again, I was kind of keeping his eye on this one on the low key. And yeah, it's basically what I thought it was going to be. Let's get into it though. A WWE star will probably be fired after being written off TV following allegations made against them. Former WWE Cruiserweight Champion Drew Gulak had recently been a part of the No Quarter Catch crew on NXT television, with he, Charlie Dempsey, Damon Kemp, and Miles Bourne serving as the NXT Heritage Cup champion under the Catch Clause. Ronda Rousey recently spoke about a backstage interaction she had with Gulak during her time in the company, making an accusation of misconduct against him in a rather public manner. Gulak has not appeared on WWE television since then, and he was seemingly written off television on this week's episode of NXT. On the show, the No Quarter Catch crew confronted Tony D'Angelo and his family, saying that they had the family take care of one of their own, with the implication being that it was Gulak without his name being mentioned. Yeah, that would be an easily dead giveaway. Speaking on Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer provided an update on his status, noting that he doesn't know that Gulak has been fired yet, but people in the company believe he probably will be, saying, quote, "What I was told was that the witnesses were not conclusive. It was one person's word against another, but Gulak was bad publicity, so he got whacked. I don't know that he's been fired, but when I ask, it's like, if he hasn't been, he probably will be. It's not looking good for him, let's put it that way." I mean, oh boy. Because I don't know what the Ronda Rousey joins about. Let me look this up. Need better context. Ronda Rousey drawing. No, I'm good. There we go. Latest on Drew Gulak status. Ronda Rousey was discussing... Kate Sassy's, by the way. That's what I'm looking at. Ronda Rousey was discussing a culture of inappropriate behavior in WWE, accusing Drew Gulak of grabbing the string of my sweatpants. Back in 2022, Gulak responded by saying it was a complete accident. Yeah, I mean, from the way... He probably gonna get fired. Let's not get it twisted. He's gonna get fired. And it's gonna suck. You know, but if, you know, the witnesses, you know, can pretty much conclude that, yes, this was happening. This happened, amongst other things. Gulak gone. And there's no other reason to keep him around. Let that be the move. I mean, they already wrote him off TV, so it's pretty much almost a done deal that Gulak's going to go. It sucks, because I know the No Quarter Catch for You was kind of like getting going a little bit. So it was really cool to see, you know, him developing and kind of like creating Catchpoint 2.0, as we saw it in the Discord. Used to talk about, and, you know, shameless plug, if you want to join the Discord, head over to Twitter, or X, whatever y'all heathens call it nowadays. Go over to @addict_wrestle. There's a link tree in that bio there. Click on that little thing right there. Click on the Discord invite. Our esteemed general manager, King Ricky Rose, will welcome you in with open arms. We will say hello to you, and you are part of our squadron. We do have the wonderful thing called the War Lounge, where we all hang out and actually talk and chat during PLEs and pay-per-views for AEW. We also have plenty of topics to talk about, including WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor and AEW, the World Western Wrestling Sanctum, which is my pride and joy, because I kind of push for it. Very much talking about, like, you know, Japan and, you know, anything outside of those realms. But yeah, it's a good time over there. We chat a lot about pro wrestling. We talk about memes, the tip of the crown stuff. It's a great time. Join us in the Discord. Join us. And I'm not sure we're going to be doing Backlash. Depending on, of course, with time schedule and everything, it's going to be a little bit difficult to kind of catch it live for all of us, because we all have lives and we're adults. But yeah, come join us in the Discord. I'm sure we'll probably, if we're not doing one for the PLEs coming ahead for the international join, which I doubt we will. I'm not sure. I'll talk with Fretz and Nate and whoever wants to, you know, kick it with us. But SummerSlam is not a bad option. We might be doing something for SummerSlam. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, come join us in the Discord, if you will. But getting back into Gulak for just a little bit more. It sucks, because I do like Gulak. But again, if this was actually the behavior that was doing, this is not a good look for Gulak. And he is, I mean, he got written off TV already. He gone. He's as good as gone. It's just not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And again, it sucks, because, you know, he was starting to get hot with No Quarter Catch Crew. They had the NXT Heritage Cup. And now he has been whacked by the family. I mean, again, if the witnesses come back and it's legitimate, then yeah, Gulak's pretty much gone. And it's not, and they're saying probably, which is pretty like, yeah, pretty much. It sucks. But if your conduct was, you know, terrible, then yeah, you deserve to get future endeavor your ass real fucking quick. And again, like I said, it sucks. But if there's any more news on it, I'll keep an eye on it for you guys, and I'll let you guys know. But that is going to conclude the news of the week. When we come back, AEW Dynasty goes down on Sunday, and there's a lot of matches on this card. There need to be discussed, and we're going to do that with my preview and predictions of AEW Dynasty on the other side of episode 387 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. I invite you to hold on to your butts every Tuesday as I, the impact player of WrestleAct Radio, Nate the effing great, take you on a journey with the Brace for Impact podcast, where I talk about the events as well as the moments that really made wrestling an impactful and long-lasting sport throughout the years. Talking about TNA, Ring of Honor, WWE, maybe a little bit of AEW here there as well. Every Tuesday, Nate the effing great, myself, will be covering all of that and more. Definitely tune into that every Tuesday for the Brace for Impact podcast on WrestleAddict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. It's such good shit.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with episode 387 of the YLP podcast. And it is time for our AE W Dynasty preview and predicciones. As of this recording, we are with... Hold on, take notes here. Give me one moment. 23-11 to begin the year. Not a bad way to start. I mean, my apologies for not telling you how we did. As squadron, we went 6-1 on night 2. 4-4 night 1. 3-4 NXT combined with our 10-2 record of a 13-9. That gives us the 23-11 we have so far. And I intend to make that 30. Because there's like 1, 2, 6, 7, 10 matches on the card. Jesus Christ. One on pre-show, but 9 main card. Jeez, that's a whole bunch of... Wow. But nonetheless, AEW Dynasty, when you're looking at this card, it looks quite nice. It's quite nice, isn't it? I mean, Ospreay Danielson. The very moment they actually announced this for the first time, the entire IWC just went and shit their pants. And... because this was something I'd never even thought of seeing. Like, yeah, Danielson, ZSJ, yes. But for some odd reason, I never thought, yeah, I want to see Ospreay Danielson. Not throwing shade on either man. I love them both. Very much so. Just the prospect of seeing Ospreay Danielson never really crossed my mind because I never really thought it was going to be something that would take place. Ospreay was in New Japan, Danielson, I mean, they had the relationship, but... I don't know if AEW or Japan would be willing to do it. Just me being foolish. And now we're getting it. And it's going to be insane. I mean, Kazuchika Okada versus Pac. Again, a match I never thought I would see. Like, Ospreay Danielson is a match I never thought I would see personally. Oh, dear God. For the AEW Continental Championship. Insane. Of course, you have the tournament final ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championship. Given the fact that what happened last week, not this past Wednesday, like I said, I really haven't watched, and I'm just going to be, you know, just going to say, I haven't really watched much week-to-week wrestling as of late personally, if you guys have noticed. Okay, just putting that out there. That's not to say I don't keep up on it. But I don't watch the week-to-week as much. Just me personally. But for some reason, I mean, after the whole, you know, CM Punk join, everybody was like kind of looking at Young Bucks and FTR kind of like, oh. I mean, the promo afterward didn't really help the cause now, did it? And it's still going to be a solid ladder match for the titles, but it's still got a little bit of a black cloud over it. That's not to say it won't be a banger. But what I know for sure will be a banger is the AEW World Championship match. Possible history in the making for one Swerve Strickland. And possibly becoming the first African-American AEW World Champion. Now, put that aside for just a moment and just think it's Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland. Yeah. Just take that one bit there, move it to the left a little bit, and just be like, wait, it's Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland. And what I saw with the whole Swerve Strickland just being like, I believe I can fly, and just decided to just, you know, yeet himself off the top, crash onto everybody, and then just somehow land well enough. And then just walk right into the Samoa Joe's face, reminiscent of a certain Ricochet and Velveteen Dream feud back in the day of the glory days of NXT. I got those vibes immediately. I'm just like, oh, okay. So what? Nice little callback. Just for me personally. But this card looks pretty freaking solid. If we're really, like, thinking about it, this looks Good. And this should be their our bad. This should be their our bad. You know what I mean? This should be our, this is like the apology. It's like, maybe we should have just focused on the wrestling instead of focusing on the nonsense. Where art thou? My apologies, I was looking for a certain theme song that we all listen to while we're doing these previews and predictions. Y'all know what it is. But you know what? I'm going to do something a little different. Because there's one other one that I love more than anything. For those of you who may not know, I love game shows. I used to, when Game Show Network was a thing on telly, I would watch Game Show Network pretty much on a constant basis. Besides college football on the weekends, eating pastrami sandwiches. Why the fuck did I ever like pastrami? It is the devil. It is not. Just not my thing. There was one other game show that I fell in love with. There's three that I fell in love with. Well, actually, no, there's four. There's so many good ones. Five. I don't know. There's, again, endless. Endless. I need a longer version now. What is this? What is this? This is nonsense. I mean, my apologies. I should have prepared. Okay, so we won't do that one. Yeah. Because I know, for some of us, there are certain game shows that's just like, yeah, I missed that one. Or, you know, I missed that game show. And it's cool. There we go. Y'all ducking me. Aye. You would think in the history of game show theme songs you would have like an hour loop of one. Absolute shame. Absolute shame. Disgusting. Alright, well, we have to go to the good old, and that's never a bad thing. Know what I'm saying? Nonetheless, though, let us get into our AEW Dynasty preview and predictions. Well, we've done the preview, now we do the predictions. 10 matches on the card. Y'all know what the goal is. Goal is to go 10-0. Will be? Probably not. But let's try it. Let's give it the old college try, shall we? Starting off, Bullet Club Gold, defending their six-man tag team championships in Ring of Honor, taking on the acclaimed, the Trios tag team champions, the Trios champions, my bad, English hard sometimes, winner takes all. AEW World Trios, six-man tag team titles on the line. Me personally, love both these trios. The Guns, Austin and Colton, have actually surprisingly done well for themselves in AEW and have done very well for themselves being these current reigning and defending Ring of Honor World six-man tag team champions. But for some reason, I'm leaning towards the acclaimed to take both sets of gold. I think this would be really cool to see happen because the acclaimed deserve it, and you know, everyone's gonna be scissoring because why not? Give me the acclaim to not only retain their AEW World Trios Championships, but become the new Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Champions. Moving into main card action. Hook. Chris Jericho. I believe the story of this one is Chris Jericho wanted to be the mentor of Hook. Hook wasn't having it, and he's like, nah, fam, we good, but we can fight, though. And I put the strap on the line, too. What's up? to which Chris Jericho was like, okay, I see how this is, and it's going to go down. But yeah, I got Hook retaining on this one. This is just, for me, it's nothing wrong with Chris Jericho. It would be very weird to see Chris Jericho with the FTW championship. It won't look right. It won't feel right. Hook retains, beats Jericho, because Chris Jericho's trying to get motherfuckers over it. Now, I'm not mad at that. Will Ospreay, Brian Danielson. For those of you who are new, during previews and predictions, there are times where I'm going to pause the music here because my bad. Certain points, there are certain things that are need to be discussed because they are serious or it's just a really big fucking deal. Will Ospreay versus Brian Danielson was not on my bingo card for 2024. Not even close. Wasn't even thinking about it. Too busy worrying about Okada, I guess. Okada's the homie. Well, not Pants Okada. That was a man's look like he was going to go to a disco and all he had to wear was the vest and shit to get in. And they were just like, Okada. Yeah, nah, we ain't doing that. Love Saturday Night Fever, don't get it twisted, but no. Didn't look right. Pants Okada was just a weird flex, but okay kind of moment. Just me. Anyway, getting back into Ospreay and Danielson. This is going to be something. This is going to be something, isn't it? Ospreay's now in AEW. Danielson's been there for a minute. And again, I'm just like, this wasn't even on my radar. Like, I wasn't even thinking about, oh, yeah, they're going to do Ospreay Danielson. Like, yeah, Ospreay's on AEW. That's cool. And then usually I would go into my rundown of, like, who he would face. And I didn't do that bit for myself. And I'm cool with it, though. I'm cool with all this. Ospreay Danielson is going to be in fucking sane. Styles make fights, and these two, I think these two will have a wonderful, sensational matchup in this match. And this one was a hard one to kind of, like, predict. There were about three or four. I kind of sat on a little bit. I had to sit on a little bit and just be like, how would I play this out? If I'm booking it, how would I want it to play out? You know what I'm saying? Because we all do it. As pro wrestling fans, we book almost every day. The creative mind just goes all the time. And especially if you're a podcaster, it just goes into overdrive. Do I mind it? No. I'll do it while I'm at work sometimes. Don't tell my boss. But a matchup like this is just like, it's a definite, if either guy won, I wouldn't be mad at it type of thing. Because I love them both dearly as a pro wrestling fan. But if I had to book, I have to go with Ospreay. I have to go with Ospreay. I know there will be Danielson fans that will hear this and just be like, no, I love Brian Danielson. Brian Danielson's just that dude. You know what I'm saying? We know this. But if I had to go in booking, I would think Tony Khan would want to give Ospreay the rub. Danielson would not mind getting Ospreay over and doing the job. That is no disrespect on Danielson. But the way I see it, they're going Ospreay. And I am too. Anywho, getting back into this wicked things. The Young Bucks and FTR in the tournament final ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championship. Regardless of what happened the week prior with the Brawl In bullshit. Excuse me. Water. Also love listening to the song. It's actually a banger. Hear the drums in the background. It's very nice. One of my favorite theme songs ever. Not even in wrestling. Because Bob Barker had it. Duh. Getting back into it though. Young Bucks FTR. This one was the one I left for last. Because I'm just like, in my head, I'm just like, yeah, the Young Bucks at the RA makes sense, but who do you want to win? This one was just personal preference, and in this case, for some odd reason, I want the Young Bucks to win. Especially after everything they had to endure last week, I think it would just be fucking hilarious if the Young Bucks climbed up those ladders and the EVPs once again became AEW World Tag Team Champions. Just me. Just fucking me. I would love to see it. I would just love to see that happen. And I'm going with the Young Bucks to become, once again, AEW World Tag Team Champions. Getting into the middle of the mid-card of the portion of the program. Well, as the way they've structured it over at WrestlingJunkie.USA.com, they're making this like, oh, this is sixth. I'm like, they're not going to make that fucking sixth. They're not even going to make that fucking, they'll probably go on like second or third or something like that. But Julia Hart defending the AEW TBS Championship against Willow Nightingale. I know most of y'all will probably be going with Willow. I know this to be true. Trust me, I went a little back and forth on this as well. And I'm just like, Willow, I could see Willow winning it. Not bad. I could see Julia Hart winning it too. Because if we're being brutally honest, and let's be fucking real, let's be absolutely 100% real about this. They're just waiting for Mercedes Moné to make sure she's healthy. And since they've already announced her for Double or Nothing, I would think that they're just biding their time, because Double or Nothing is next month, Memorial Day weekend. I mean, why the fuck not? But I'm going to go with Julia Hart to retain. I have a strong feeling that they're going to have Willow come so close, and somehow Julia just, like, ekes it out. I'm just thinking that's going to be the move. Because I think they want to keep it on Julia Hart until Mercedes is ready to go for Double or Nothing. Take it from the heel champion, and then, yay, Mercedes Moné is TBS champion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was mean. Or they could have Willow Nightingale become the AEW TBS champion, run it back with Mercedes. Run it back with Mercedes. For when they had the strong openweight championship and she hurt her ankle. I'm going to lean Julia Hart on this one, because I think they're going to want to have the heel and then Mercedes pretty much like be the baby face, even though she really is a really good heel. They're just waiting for Mercedes. I think Julia Hart having the belt, I think, makes more sense. If Willow wins it, though, I ain't going to be mad. Setting up the rematch between Willow and Mercedes would be dope. Not going to be mad at that. But I'm going to have Julia Hart retain just a little bit longer so we can get to Double or Nothing, and then Mercedes can take it off of her. Or they just go Willow Nightingale and I look stupid. Either way, I'm going to go Julia Hart to retain. We'll see how it goes. Getting back into the theme music. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus House of Black. I'm going with House of Black. I don't care.
When you got the TBS champion, you got the Ring of Honor.
Wait, hold on. Which one did he lose? No, he's got the strong. Yeah, he's the strong openweight champion now. He's only got the strong openweight championship. So yeah, you got the TNT champion, you got the strong openweight champion, and the new Ring of Honor world champion. Shout out one time to Mark Briscoe, the Funky Chicken. You know what I'm saying? Which is a hell of a moment. Hell of a moment for Levis. 11 years to the day his brother Jay won. Beautiful moment. And a wonderful, like, move on. Excuse me. AEW technically is part to put the title on him. That's a dope move. And, I mean, it just makes sense. I don't care. I'm going to House of Black. I don't care. I just want to see House of Black actually win. For a change. Because it would be nice. Moving on, though, to the AEW Women's World Championship, we got Timeless Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa. I like this. I like that. I like this move. This feels nice. This feels really, really good. But I think for some strange reason, they're going to have the title stay around the waist of timeless Toni Storm. I think they're really setting up something. Hopefully they're setting up Mariah May and Toni Storm at Double or Nothing. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I'm going with Storm to retain and hopefully a May-Storm title match at Double or Nothing. We'll see how it goes. We got to get past this first. But yeah, I'm going to go with Storm to retain. There's nothing to say Thunder Rosa couldn't take the championship away from Storm, but I think the way they're going... Excuse me. Storm's going to keep the championship for just a little bit longer. Either way. But yeah, I'm going to go with Storm to retain. Kazuchika Okada versus Pac for the AEW Continental Championship. This one's going to be banger. I already know it. Just like the next match that we're going to talk about in just a moment. This is... Oh my god. I mean, come on, bruh. Okada and fucking Pac, bro. This is going to be fucking sensational. Okada retains. Don't get it twisted. But this one's like... This could be one of two dark... This is like... There's a lot of Dark Horse matches of the night on here. There's a lot. I will give the nod to Strong and O'Reilly because of more history between them even prior to AEW. But this one's going to be so... This one's going to be really good. And don't poo-poo this one. Okada can go. If you want to put him in a match with a guy that can ensure that he'll go, yeah, Pac will make sure that Okada does what Okada does without any fucking hesitation. It's going to be a very, very solid fucking matchup. Okada retains, like I said, but you put two guys like that, and it gets me Okada versus Skrull vibes, you know. And plus a smaller guy like Skrull facing a guy like Okada and actually fucking worked, yeah, I'd fuck with that. So, yeah, you can run that back. Pac is just a more insane worker and does cool shit. Like let's do it. But, yeah, Okada retains. But, yeah, this will probably be a wonderfully solid matchup. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy this one. We then go into Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. Of course, Strong, with O'Reilly making his return to AEW to the sound of wonderful people going apeshit for that, as did I. His return, Strong offered, you know, O'Reilly a spot in the Undisputed Kingdom, bringing it back, you know, running it back, minus Bobby Fish. I mean, where's the lie? Kyle O'Reilly wasn't feeling it. Strong attacked him, and now it's on like Donkey Kong for the International Championship. Strong retains, I know, because it's a little early in the run to have him drop. But this kind of is just like one of those, like, it's not even like one that I wanted to see in NXT. This was, I've seen this, and I want to see it again type of thing. This is my Dark Horse match of the night. Right here. My Dark Horse for match of the night. This is going to be... Oh my god. Y'all know this. Y'all know how they do. They were undisputed before. This is going to bang. This is going to be a very solid mid-card championship match for the AEW International Championship. Not going to lie, it's actually one of my favorite looking belts at the moment. I'm kind of enjoying that look. It's different. But yeah, Strong retains, but dude, this is going to be crazy because they can go technical, they can switch it up. They got styles for days, and I think this is going to be a hell of a matchup. Strong retains. We then get into our main event hole. Samoa Joseph, Swerve Strickland, AEW World Championship on the line. We know this matchup is going to be insane, and I know the crowd is going to be completely behind Swerve to take the championship. Again, take the first African-American AEW World Champion and put that aside for a moment and just appreciate what this matchup is. two guys, two solid guys, in Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland. You know, Samoa Joe, a beloved heel in the world of professional wrestling, no matter what promotion he's in, as the AEW World Champion, the man who beat MJF to take the championship from him, which we already kind of knew that was going to be a thing, very predictable, but we all wanted to see it anyway. But in all honesty, I would love nothing more than to see Swerve Strickland become the new AEW World Champion. I think it's the right time. I think it's the perfect time because you can do the rematch of Double or Nothing if you so choose. I just think right now, the way they've built it, sans last week with the whole debacle, but we ain't gonna talk about that again. Or try not to, at least. But, I think it's Swerve's time. I really do believe that this Sunday is going to be Swerve's night. The crowd's going to be behind him. Everybody's going to fucking do the Prince Nana dance. You know, it's going to be a vibe. It's going to be a mood, a vibe, and an insane main event at the same time. But when all is said and done, Samoa Joe drops the title to Swerve. I think it's the right time. I'm not saying if not now, when. And if not him, who? I'm just saying it feels, and it has that feeling of it being the right time to put the title on Swerve. It's only right. Again, take the, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the crowd's behind him. After the freaking triple threat at Revolution, the crowd was behind him anyway. So, like, it's time. It's honestly time, and we need to see that happen. I'm not saying we ain't gonna riot or nothing, but I think it would be a very confusing situation if we, and it's not to say if they put, you know, unless they have plans for Samoa Joe to actually drop it at Double or Nothing, we'll see. But the way I see it right now, it's Swerve's time. Nothing wrong with that. Samoa Joe's had a solid reign. Let's not get it twisted. I'm going with Swerve to take the title and close out Dynasty properly. Now we can bring back from the left the first African-American AEW World Champion. There's nothing wrong with making history. But let's make some on Sunday. Because why the fuck not? Because why the fuck not? But that's going to conclude my preview and predictions for AEW Dynasty this Sunday. Let me know what y'all think. Of course, put a voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/WrestleEdicRadio or on podcasters.spotify.com/YoungLionsPerspective or email me at YoungLionsPerspective@gmail.com. Let me know what y'all thinking about Dynasty. When we come back, we're going to close out the show in a very special way. As we just spoke about it a little bit in the intro, we're going to do a little bit of a wish list. My personal wish list for 2024. What I want to see take place in 2024. That's going to be on the other side of episode English card 387 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What is going on, folks? This is Mr. Fretz from the Fretzomania podcast, and you are listening to the Stephen A. Smith of Wrestle Attic Radio, Zach of the Young Lions Perspective. And unlike Stephen A., I'm here to tell you that we care.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event segment of episode 387 of the YLP podcast. And usually, the last bit of the podcast, the preview and predictions, would end this week's episode. But I was a little bored one night. I was just laying in bed, kind of like, you know, thinking of what I wanted to do for this week's episode. And it came to me. I've never done a legitimate wish list. I've never really done something where it's just like, what I would really want to see. Excuse me. And I started writing the first five, and I haven't come up with the last five just yet, but that will take place next week for my wish list. But I definitely easily got 10 through 6. And so this little bit here is just what is, Mr. YLP's top 10 wish list for 2024. Things I would want to see happen. Certain things I would want to see happen. And I do get specific on this list. So I'm just going to go through 10 through 6 this week, and then I'm going to do 5 through 1 next Saturday. If you're cool with that, let us get it popping. Making sure everything's good. Starting with number 10. WWE finally gives us NXT Europe. I remember reporting on this for the first time a couple years ago after NXT UK pretty much kind of folded. And the rumors began of NXT Europe taking place. I'm not exactly sure when we're going to get NXT Europe, but I believe 2024 should be the year. What I'm hoping for is WWE finally gives us NXT Europe, and we finally get what I have been talking about for the longest time. Now, they probably won't do takeovers anymore. Who knows? They could bring them back. Why not? There's plenty of options, especially if they're going to do Europe. The options are endless. You have London. You have, I literally just forgot all the fucking, cities are in freaking Europe. I mean, you got what? You get the entirety of the UK. You got England, Wales, fucking Scotland, Ireland, Northern Ireland, all that. You got options. You got Liverpool. You got Manchester. You got Cardiff. Just the UK alone, you got options. Paris. You've got Lyon, which they're doing for Backlash. Munich, Berlin, Rome, Milan. If you do Milan, shit. I'm just saying, I would love nothing more than to see a legitimate NXT Europe showcasing some of the best up-and-coming talent from Europe. And if you're using it as some of the people from the UK, that would be awesome too. I think personally, I just would love to finally just have it happen and just for it to just be seen. And so finally we can begin that story. And of course, if I can, I'm going to cover it because that's how I get down. But that's something I would love to see in 2024 is WWE to finally give us NXT Europe. Moving into number 9. This one, of course, I had to do the Dynasty preview and predictions first because picking Swerve Strickland, this is number 9 on my list. I know this would have to go probably into 2025 for this to take place, but I would love to see Swerve Strickland, when all is said and done, having the longest world championship reign in AEW history. Now, I'm going to look up at the AEW championship rings. I think MJF does have the longest one. If I'm not mistaken, I believe maybe MJF has had the longest one. And there ain't many. Yeah, Moxley's was 406. So we're looking at a 407-day reign. At 407 days at least. Will it happen? Who knows? But I would love to just see Swerve Strickland having a very dominant reign as the AEW World Champion, one that the fans can get behind, and just be an amazing reign, because honestly, he freaking deserves it. It's one of those things where, you're catching lightning, you got the right guy at the right time, and a guy you can definitely begin to build a new championship scene around. Because we know Swerve Strickland ain't no joke in that ring. And his evolution in AEW has been quite fucking good. Of course, having the Mogul Embassy, all that good stuff going into the fold, and then becoming the main focus of that. And then all of a sudden it just came out of nowhere that Strickland was just by himself. And then everybody got released and shit. So there you go with that. But of course you still have, Brian Cage. I forget the other guys. There's a couple other guys out there in the Mogul Embassy. But you do have a little bit of that. I'm surprised they don't show that as much as on AEW. But hey, Strickland's the focus. But Strickland bringing the Mogul Embassy the AEW World Championship just makes sense to me. And just him having that title will mean a lot to a lot of us. And I would love nothing more than for them to solidify Strickland as me personally, having him have the longest reign in World Championship in AEW, in the history of the AEW World Championship. It's just one of those things where, why the fuck not? I would love to see it. Again, this is just the wish list, so there's certain things I know that may or may not happen. But this one is just, this one's a personal one. And just like the last one I had for NXT Europe, this is it's a personal one. Seeing something that, is very possible now that we're under the creative eyes and creative mind of Triple H, and then Shawn Michaels in the fold for NXT, and I'm sure they would love nothing more to have Europe happen. I guess it's one of those things where these things can happen. These things can take place now. We can do these things. And going back in this world of Strickland, this can happen, and it should happen, and it needs to happen. It would just be a very wonderful thing to see. Not because, me personally, I am a biracial man. I am half black, half white. So seeing a guy like Swerve Strickland hold the top championship in a brand, or, any black man or woman, in a brand, in a promotion, holding the top championship, that always warms my motherfucking heart. You know what I'm saying? But to see Strickland be on the top of the mountain in AEW, I think would just be sensational. And then having him have the longest reign, personally to me, would just be the icing on the motherfucking cake. And he is going to be over as fuck. Or the acronym OOF. Because he will be over as fuck. He will be legitimately over as champion. And then you can just run it back with Hangman for a little while, and Double or Nothing will just be lit as fuck. But it's just one of those things where you see a guy and it's just like, I could see him breaking records. I could see him bringing in the fans. Not to say that Samoa Joe can't. And of course, after the debacle with Brawl In, it did do a bad number for themselves with that. But I think with the right guy at the top of the card, you can make some bread. I mean, WWE was doing that for 4 straight fucking years with Roman Reigns at the top. So there you go with that. But yeah, you can make some bread with Swerve Strickland. I think you can. But time will tell if they actually decide to put the title on Swerve. Number 8. This one's going to be an interesting one. Again, like I said, this is a lot of personal ones because it's my wish list. But I would love nothing more than to see DIY and the New Catch Republic sitting atop the Raw and SmackDown tag team divisions. If you watched the episode with myself and Fretz on the Fretzomania podcast before WrestleMania weekend, Fretz got them both right. I personally wanted DIY the New Catch Republic to become the tag team champions. Awesome Truth and A-Town Down Under, or fuck they call themselves nowadays, won, and I'm just like, boo. I get it, but boo. So in 2024, I would love nothing more, and hopefully they're leading to this, that DIY, at least at the end of 2024, we see DIY and New Cut Republic holding the World Tag Team Championships and the WWE Tag Team Championship going into 2025. I think these two tag teams are great. I think they're solid. I don't think they have gotten their just due, because when they came up, they came on to, well, Redacted, and he booked them absolutely fucking terribly. All 4 of them. And countless others. Because if you weren't the top, one of the top motherfuckers, they really were going to fuck your whole shit up. And because of the fact that Redacted had felt some type of way about the fact that his, you know, son-in-law, you know, was whooping his ass creatively pretty much for a nice 3-year span, or if you want to expand it to 7, yeah, you were getting your ass kicked. So yeah, I can understand he would feel some type of way and want to destroy shit instead of building shit. But Redacted's not here anymore, so we don't got to worry about that. But I would just love seeing these two teams going into WrestleMania season holding these titles, because they fucking deserve it. And this is kind of like the apology to every one of these motherfuckers that... And don't get me wrong, the tag team divisions are getting more solid by the week. And I'm happy about that. As a person who loves tag team wrestling, I can see the, you know, tag team division's getting better. I hope. Again, as you all have known for the longest time, if you're new here, I am a huge fan of tag team wrestling, and I would love nothing more than for WWE to just simply have an entire super division with one set of championships floating across both shows, and you can have rivalries on both shows, and number one contendership matches that actually mean something. Tag team matches that mean something. Tag team rivalries that actually mean something. That's what I'm here for, and that's what I love and represent, and I would love to see that one day. But it looks like for at least 2024 and beyond, they don't see it the way I do. And that's perfectly understandable. But if there's two teams that I think can have banger reigns, put on banger matches, and give you some of the best of what tag team wrestling should be, I would love nothing more than to see Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa hold World Tag Team Championship gold, and for Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne to literally be the BSS that we know they can be. Sans Trent Seven, please come back to WWE. We need you to have BSS. It's just BS, you know, British Strong Style Bloodline would have been dope. It would have been a nice little dope rivalry, you know, for a trios match somewhere down the line. That's just me though. But me personally, these two teams can lead your divisions. And if they should ever have a Survivor Series that they do brand warfare ever again, this would be a tag team matchup I'd like to watch. This would be a banger. This would be a fantastical matchup. I personally think this would be absolutely sensational. Because, now, I mean, also think about it too. You got Imperium, you got New Day, you've got what? You know, the Creed brothers, who are going to probably be led by, you know, Perk Gable. Yeah, I seen what happened to Sami Zayn on Monday. Perk Gable has arrived, and I'm here for it. And hopefully we get Team Angle 2.0, and somewhere down the line, Gable and Angle actually do the dad and son thing that Jason Jordan should have never done in the first place. You know, if they can catch Kofi without a motherfucking Jamaican accent, we can actually rewrite history and have the right person be Angle's son. That's just me. Possibly, you know, appearances by Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas. Why the fuck not? Reasons. But yeah, dude, like, these two teams to me are, I think, two of the best WWE has. And I would love nothing fucking more than to see two of my favorite tag teams in WWE hold championship gold and run the divisions on their brands, hopefully leading to a match between them one day. No winner takes all shit, just, you know, best of Raw, best of SmackDown's tag teams, and let them go at it, because I guarantee you there would be a wonderful showcase of what professional wrestling should be in the tag team division. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Leading into number 7, this one's an interesting one. I know you're probably like, oh my god, all you're doing is AEW and WWE. I got you. I'm a New Japan fan at heart. Have been since 2016, since AJ Styles beat Okada for the IWGP World Championship, or IWGP Heavyweight Championship at Dominion. Beautiful. It was a beautiful match and a beautiful moment. And the reason that I got back into wrestling in the first place. So without that match, I would not be here doing this with you. So thank them. This one's also one it's just like, for those of you who may not know and who are new to the podcast, hello, welcome. I'm Mr. YLP himself. I host the YLP podcast every single Saturday here on WrestleLetic Radio, The Cure, for the Common Wrestling Podcast. And one thing I usually, and I have done for the better part of like probably 3 or 4 years now, is discuss the G1 Climax, which is one of my favorite tournaments if not my favorite tournament in all of professional wrestling. It is the dopest tournament. It actually has stakes. It actually gives you some of the best matches that you're going to see in every single year it comes out. They've done it for a very long time. It is a very prestigious matchup. And basically, it's kind of like a very, very extended, long version of the Royal Rumble. But it produces some of the best matches that you're going to see all year. And especially the G1 Climax Final. So, there's about 8 people that I thought about, who I would want to see compete in this year's G1 Climax. Those names are, of course, the now current reigning and defending IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, John Moxley. Because champions usually do compete in the G1 Climaxes. Especially the World Heavyweight Champion, because why fucking not? And I think Moxley would actually enjoy the living shit out of this. Given the fact that he is the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, he is more than likely going to eat. He is the top guy of NJPW. So, of course, you would want to have him in your G1 Climax tournament. And I don't think Moxley would mind wanting to beat some ass over in Japan. Man's over as fucking Japan. So, why the fuck not? Bryan Danielson, he's been wanting to get in this motherfucker for a couple years now. And I don't know why Tony Khan is just like, oh no, I don't want to put him over there. I'm like, bitch, get his ass in the G1. He's already competing in Japan. Put this man in the G1 if he is up for it. If he can pull it off. Let this man cook. Let him cook. Let him cook. I would. I just think the matchups there will be fucking sensational. Danielson Sonata is always a match I've been wanting to see for quite some time. Don't ask me why. I just want it. Because you get like the interesting matchups. Of course, you get the faction matchups, and then you get like kind of like the bigger ones. You know, that, you know, the Gaijin coming over, and, you know, people coming from AEW and doing that shit. I would love to see it. And of course, I would round out the trio. Because Wheeler, I don't think Wheeler's either going to have Wheeler there just yet, but one day I would like to that too. Claudio Castagnoli. Put that motherfucker in the G1. I know he wants in on that shit too. And you know, and they've competed against each other already. The three of them, in some capacity. You know what I'm saying? Let these motherfuckers, let them three in a tournament. Put one, if you put Moxley, Castagnoli in one of the blocks, that would just be insane. If you run it back with Moxley, Danielson, it would be insane. If you give me Danielson, Castagnoli, I'd love every second of that. That's why the G1 is the shit. So yeah, give me those three motherfuckers in the BCC. You can also give me Eddie Kingston in there as well, given the fact that he is the strong openweight champion. And I think, if I remember correctly, Kingston actually wants in on the G1. And I would love to see him compete in the G1. That would just be fucking fantastic for me. As you notice, this is all mostly AEW guys. There's one in there. There's technically two. Technically, they're TNA, I think, as far as I know. But one is New Japan. I would love to see Eddie Kingston in there because I think he would put on some bangers. Him versus Evil would be a fun matchup to watch, actually. Him versus Yota Tsuji would be a dope matchup. Him versus, if they decided to do Umino in there, that would be buck wild. Kingston Tanahashi, for some reason, appeals to me so much. Him versus Finley, too, would be a dope matchup. I would love to see that. Kingston versus David Finley? I'd fuck with that. They do Jeff Cobb. That'd be dope. There's a lot, and that's the best part about the G1. You get 20 of the best guys, including guys out. And since they have the relationship with AEW, that would make all the sense in the world to me to have that take place. One person I think may be a wild card in this, but if they put this guy in there, I think he can put on some really solid matches. And that is the current, as far as I know, the current reigning and defending IWGP Global Heavyweight Champion, Nick Nemeth. I think he would have a ball in that in that tournament. And he can go, and he can put on some absolute solid bangers. I would love to see it. I would love to see Nick Nemeth in that tournament. I think it would be really freaking cool to see him as the global heavyweight champion and just competing with some of the best that NJPW has to offer. I think that would be a really cool scene for Nick Nemeth. I think that would be something that I would enjoy, and I'm sure there are some people within the NJPW fandom who would really want to see Nick Nemeth compete in the G1. I think it would be pretty cool. I think he would show up and show out for that. I give you my word. If they put him in the tournament, he'll show up and show out. Yeah, I like to see him in there. They don't defend championships during G1, but, you know, I would just want to see how he can hang with some of the best that New Japan has to offer. Of course, what would a G1 be without Murder Grandpa? Minoru Suzuki. It just doesn't feel... Every time that Suzuki's not in it, I feel some type of way about it, because it's freaking Minoru Suzuki. And he'll kill you. But I've heard he's a very nice man. But piss him off enough, he's going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? I've seen him do very dastardly things to many people in the squared circle. And him in the G1 always warms my fucking heart. Because he puts... You know, at his age, he still puts on bangers. How he does it, I don't know. And I'm not going to ask any more questions beyond that. But Suzuki in a G1 always is a good time for me. Because you know dang well he's not going to play. He's coming to kill you. And we hold him in very high regard here in the YOP realm. So, yeah, I would love to see Suzuki back in the G1. I don't remember the last time he was actually in there. But, yeah, I would love to see G1. Suzuki in the G1, it'll be key. One person I think who I don't think receives his flowers enough personally is Josh Alexander. I would love to see Josh Alexander in a G1. The man's facing Tanaka, if he hasn't already. And tonight, as I put it, when I saw the matchup being seen and advertised as Tanaka versus Alexander, this man apparently just wants to meet God. And I'm cool with that. And in the G1, you can go ahead and meet God multiple times if you want to. Again, 20 of the best heavyweights. Well, the grade one. 20 of the best that New Japan has to offer. But I would love to see Alexander in that tournament. For some odd reason, it just makes sense to have Josh Alexander in there. I think he would love the experience in Japan, being in a tournament like that, putting on bangers. Like, mind you, for those who don't know, the G1 Climax is not just a one-day tournament. It is a month-long tournament, a true war of attrition, putting on some of the best matches in the world. And when all is said and done, you could possibly be competing for a main event spot in Wrestle Kingdom 18. I think that'd be pretty cool. But Josh Alexander, you know, former TNA World Champion, definitely has been put on some really good matches. And I would just love to see Alexander in one. Like, him versus Danielson would be dope. Him versus a Moxley would be crazy. Him versus, like, a Sonata, a Naito, a Tanahashi. A Tsuji would be dope, because he's definitely on the come up. A Zack Sabre Jr. Like, that would be a very interesting combination of styles are truly clashing. Josh Alexander in the tournament. The last one is going to surprise some of y'all. I really sat on it, because I had one other person in mind, and I was just like, nah. I mean, yeah, Shibata would be dope. Shibata in the G1 would be crazy, but I don't think, you know, Shibata's too busy trying to riz up Rene Paquette and shit, and, as much as I would love to see Shibata and Moxley run that back, just off Riz alone, Shibata's too nice a guy. He's too nice of a guy. Besides, I saw a man in Sakura Genesis almost kill himself, literally and figuratively. It's gonna be crazy, but I would love to see Daniel Garcia in the G1. I'm going to repeat that one more time. I would love to see Daniel Garcia in a G1 Climax format. Yes, him small nugget. But I think you know, him becoming the character he is now and still coming back into his way of being a true professional wrestler, because sports entertainer doesn't hit him. He knows that, and he knows he can whoop some ass. And I would love to see Daniel Garcia be the Gaijin Toru Yano. Because Toru Yano is not only a member of Chaos, the Chaos Faction in New Japan Pro Wrestling, he's an ambassador in many cities across Japan. Man sells DVDs like it's going out of style. Former KOPW provincial champion, back-to-back. I think he did it back-to-back, I'm not sure. But he has done it once. I think it's pretty freak. I think he would. But see, the thing is, Toru Yano is like a comedy act over in Japan. But one of the coolest ones. He's kind of like R-Truth, if you think about it. But I would love to see Daniel Garcia in a G1 and have that be like the beginnings of the transformation of him becoming a professional wrestler again. Be the Daniel Garcia we know he can be. The one we saw at Limitless beating Christian Casanova, a.k.a. Carmelo Hayes, for the Limitless World Championship. I want that. I want pro wrestler Daniel Garcia. And I think if they decided to do a storyline, kind of, because they do kind of do storylines within the G1 Climax, this is how we get Daniel Garcia to become a professional wrestler again. And I think that's pretty freaking cool. That's just me, though. And finally, to round out the first five, the first half of my wish list for 2024, this is probably not going to happen. And I'm perfectly okay with that. But I would, this is kind of how I envision Survivor Series. And if they're going to go the way I think they're going to go, Survivor Series, now mind you, I wrote four prior to, but I think there should be more. I was kind of thinking about it. And I think there should be a little bit more, because you kind of have to round out the card a little bit. I mean, quantity is a quality all of itself, but quality is a proper, solid, goodness. You have the right quantity, give me some good quality, you have a good show. Now, originally, I had Survivor Series War Games, if they're going to do War Games this year, needed to just have four matches. Do the men's and women's War Games, and have men's and women's 5-on-5 Survivor Series matches. Now, if they're gonna go the way I think they're gonna go, we could possibly see a Bloodline Civil War Games, and I think that would be fucking cool. Which still leaves championship matches open, unless they want to go brand warfare route, which we don't know yet. But the way I see it, let's do six. Let's do six. Not that heathens. I'd say six. So you have the men's and women's War Games matches, and then you get the 5-on-5. If you wanted to go five, I would say probably have a world title on the line. You know what I'm saying? I think that would be an interesting move to have the, because it's rarely seen. But I would love to see a world championship match on there. So five. I was going to go four, but five. I think that's a perfect, it gives you more than enough time to do two War Games matches, because they usually go about 45. You can do two Survivor Series matches, men's and women's. Brand warfare, bring that back, please. And then possibly do a world title match if you want to. If you just want to go the four, let's do four. 4-5. Nothing more, nothing less. Both War Games, both 5-on-5 men's and women's Survivor Series matches, and a world title match. I think that is more than enough to, enjoy the palate, if you will, and be able to just enjoy all that is to have in terms of, just what is needed for a Survivor Series. No more than 4-5 matches. But I'll stick to my four for now. Two Survivor Series matches. One men, one women's. Both Raw versus SmackDown. And then you give me War Games matches. And that's your show. That's all you need. We got three, 4 hours to fill. We got more than enough time to fill those 3-4 hours. If you want to go with a fifth, have both world championship matches, I'm cool with that. That sounds pretty darn good to me. That sounds pretty damn good to me. I would love to see that. That'd be pretty fucking cool. Just saying, it's one of those things where I'm just like, you know what? Sometimes less is more. If WWE has taught me that, especially on WrestleMania, where we only had six, seven matches per night, less is more. You don't need to have a 13-match fucking card on goddamn WrestleMania. No, you just do about 5 or 6, maybe 7 at the most, and make them good, and make them quality, and make them mean something. All of matches mean something. But yeah, just do that, and you'll be just fine. No one dies. No one gets hurt. We have a good time. And Survivor Series is going to be, hopefully this year, like I want SummerSlam and to round out the Big Four. It rounds out the Big Four very nicely, especially if SummerSlam is top tier. Yeah, round out the end of the year, round out your last Big Four like that. And for those of you who may not know, I say Big Four, not Big Five, because I don't consider Money in the Bank to be a big anything. It is a gimmick match that is doing... I mean, yes, they do it better now because they're going internationally to actually put on banger matches. But still, to me, Money in the Bank should always be at WrestleMania. Men's and women's. It's just a perfect setting. You no longer have the pay-per-view. And then, you know, you can still... And then you can bring back another... You can bring back a different type of, you know, pay-per-view. Maybe do a Super Brawl. Maybe bring back Hog Wild. They'll never do that. Especially in our culture today, that would not fly. But do something. Actually, that would lead to my five. Actually leads to number five. It could lead to number one, actually, who knows. But I guess you'll just have to wait and find out what five through one is for my wish list next week, because that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to conclude episode 387 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, we'll close out the show in proper YLP fashion and get you ready for episode 388 of the YLP podcast. We'll be right back. Guys, that's going to be it for episode 387 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. And as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 386 episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate to hit me up with a nice little voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/younglionsperspective and podcasters.spotify.com/wrestleaddictradio. You can also hit me up with a nice little email if you so choose at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. If you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast, of course, you can find me on Twitter over at YL Perspective. That's capital YLP Perspective. You can also find me on Instagram over at young_lions_perspective. And finally, I have decided to make a TikTok. I did it. I know. Mr. YLP, the one never claiming Mr. YLP himself being a boomer and not doing TikTok. Well, I did it, alright? So shut up. You can leave me alone now. But you can follow me on TikTok at YL Perspective, just the same as my Twitter. So yeah, follow me on all those platforms. Stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast. Haven't really done anything yet on TikTok, but I plan to do some things once I get into the fold and all that good stuff. But yes, yeah, we got that now. We here now. May God help us. Again, follow me on all those platforms. Stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast. Next week, we are, of course, going to go back with all the news that's fit for me to talk about with a brand spanking new episode of the news of the week, and also rounding out my wish list numbers 5 through 1 of my top 10 wish list for 2024. Let me know what you think of my first five, and tell me what your wish list is for 2024. What do you want to see in 24? What are some of the things that you personally want to see? I want to know. Hit me up with a voice message. Hit me up with those emails. Let me know what you got. Hit me up DMs, all that good stuff. This is the YLP realm. We are squadron. We talk. We discuss. You can also hit me up on the Discord as well. Other than that, I'm gonna get the hell out of here because it's the weekend and I'm gonna chill. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. If you guys are going to be going out this weekend, of course, drink responsibly. Drink one for yours truly. Make sure you take that Uber or Lyft home so you don't have to worry about paying five figures in DUIs, fines, legal court fees, and all that stuff. No need to do that. Take that Uber or Lyft home, then go home and have you a nice snack and get you some good sleep because the hangover is going to suck. But enjoy the remainder of your weekend. You guys have a fantastic week, and I'll see you guys right back here for episode 388 of the YLP podcast. See you.
This has been a Wrestle Attic Radio branded podcast.